السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اجعلنا منهم ومن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر، آمين يا رب العالمين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فما أوتيتم من شيء فمتاع الحياة الدنيا وما عند الله خير وأبقى للذين آمنوا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. الذين يجتنبون كبائر الإثم والفواحش وإذا ما غضبوا هم يغفرون. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، آمين يا رب العالمين. I want to start by reminding myself and all of you that Ramadan is almost over. And these few days that we have left to share this remarkable blessing are a kind of mindset that not only is Ramadan very short, but also life is very short. And just like we think we should make the most of these few days that are coming, it's really Allah's way of training us to think about how we're going to make the most of our lives. You know, when you set a short deadline in front of you, you get a sense of urgency. But when that deadline is over, you feel like you have a lot of time. And human beings, you and I, can be very foolish and we think we have a lot of time. And we don't. We feel that we, you know, how many of us even know we're going to make it to Eid? We don't know. We know every single breath is something given to us by Allah Azza wa Jal, and it's not something we own or control. So the first thing we learn from Ramadan is the sense of urgency to make the most of our time. It's really a, you know, what you recite in Surah Al-Asr all the time, wal asri innal insana lafi khusr, that Allah, you know, we swear by time, Allah swears by time that human beings are constantly in a state of loss. No more is that loss felt than when we feel like we're not making the most of these days of worship and getting the most out of our ibadah with Allah Azza wa Jal. What I wanted to share with you today is something that Allah teaches us in the Quran in Surah Ash-Shura that reinforces this concept that life is short. And how do you really put things in perspective? You see, human beings are frail creatures. There's a lot going on in our minds all the time. And we are pulled in many, many different directions. So the men, for example, in this audience have things to think about in terms of their marriage or in terms of their children or in terms of their parents or in terms of their work or in terms of their own health or in terms of their friends and in terms of money and in terms of... So there's lots of things happening and lots of things going on constantly in our minds. And as a result of that, you can lose sight of what your real purpose is. You can get caught in the day-to-day so much that you fail to step back and realize there's a bigger picture here. You know, I often give my students the example that if they're holding a book and they're looking at it like this, they can't read anything. They're like, I don't understand what's going on. You have to take a step back a little bit to put things in perspective so you can make sense of what's going on. And that happens in life. So Allah Azza wa Jal tells us something remarkable. It's a short set of ayat in Surah Ash-Shura, but they're really a worldview. And it's good to go back to sometimes to these ayat to refresh really what it is that it, what does it mean to have this life and this time that Allah has given us on this earth. So he says, فَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ, whatever you have been given of anything. It was a remarkable opening. Whatever you've been given of anything. Now what does that mean? Not just the things that I've been given. I've been given clothes, I've been given money, I've been given a body, I've been given health, I've been given a job, I've been given a family, I've been given friends, I've been given these things. I've been given a whole, you know, my car. Those are things that I've been given. But that's not all that I've been given. I've also been given some experiences. I've also been given some events in my life. I've also been given some, you know, some things that have happened to me that have not happened to other people. All of that was given to me by Allah. Every one of those things was given to me by Allah. So he opens with whatever experiences you've had in life and whatever you physically have in your hands, the material you have in your hands, and the experiences that you carry, like scars. Some of those experiences are good and some of those are not very good. Some of them are very difficult and painful experiences. So فَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَمَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Then know one thing, that all of that is just things. There's two things he means by مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. One thing he means is, all of that is what is put to use for the lowest life. He calls this life the lowest of all lives. Now why in the world, you know, الدُّنْيَا, which we call the world, is the Arabic feminine for الْأَدْنَى, which is the lowest. It's actually the superlative, the lowest life. Now why in the world is this planet and our life here called the lowest life? Because Allah Azza wa Jal created us in the heavens. And the angels deliver our souls from the heavens and bring it down here. And when we're done from here, we're going to go back up. You see, so we're created from a very high place, and we were brought to this very low place, the lowest of all. And so Allah says, in this lowest existence, yes, everything you've been given, you just have to put it to use. You just have to put it to use. Now, what in the world does that mean? Every experience that I've had, everything that I have, I have to think about how do I put it to use to go back up again. To go back up again. And this changes things. Every conversation you and I have on a daily basis, everything we talk about, everything we think about, everything we spend time on, we ask ourselves, is this conversation going to take me back up higher towards Allah or no? Or is this going to keep me low down here? Or even take me lower? You see, because there's a lower destination possible too, right? So you start changing your mindset. You're sitting after Jum'ah, you're talking among your friends, and one of them says, man, Kareem, he's got such a problem. And you're thinking, is this conversation going to take me higher or lower? Is it really a good idea for me to talk about someone else? مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَيْعْنِهِ It's good of the Islam of a person to leave alone what's not their business. So you start asking yourself, what am I investing my thoughts on? What am I investing my money on? What am I investing my time on? And every one of those things, am I putting them to use in this life for something better? Everything becomes an investment. Even a terrible experience. You know, terrible experiences in this life are actually an opportunity to earn much more in the next life. All of them are an opportunity. Why is it that the Prophet ﷺ sees a sick person and says, لا بأس طهور inshallah, no problem, purification if Allah wills. Meaning this sickness, you can sit there and be angry and complain and you can become frustrated and hopeless, or you can actually see that as an opportunity that Allah is cleansing you and removing from you sins that would have otherwise come your way. Maybe it's a purification for you. Your mindset will turn every opportunity and every experience into something good, into something that builds you more. You know, and this is a matter of perspective now. Now you're not caught up in things. You're not worried about things that don't matter. You see, at the end of the day, you will put effort in things that matter, and you will not put effort in things that don't matter. Let me give you a small analogy to help you with this mindset from Mata'ul Hayati Dunya. If I handed you a shovel, and I took you to a field outside, and I said, start digging, I want you to dig 10 feet. Just keep digging. And you said, what am I going to get if I dig 10 feet? I said, at the bottom of those 10 feet, there's 10 rand for you. Go ahead, it's a hot day, and you get started. No thanks. And if I told you, start digging, and there's 100 million rand at the bottom of those 10, all yours, all yours. But you can't take a break. The way you dig now has changed. There's two people, both, and by the way, before I told you to dig, I'm tired, I don't know if I have the energy, you know. And there's a guy much stronger than you next to you, and he's digging also, but he's going to get 10, you're going to get 100 million. You could be 75 years old, and all of a sudden you turned 18. You know, because the effort you're putting in, you know what you're getting back in return. You know what you're getting back in return. That's really the mindset. Allah says things in this life don't have much of a return. They're just things to use, but not things to keep. And He says, وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى Whatever Allah has in His possession, whatever He's holding on to you for, and He's holding on to some things to give you, they are better and they last longer. Oh, he said two things about what's coming for you and me. He said it's better and it lasts longer. So everything you have in this life, for example, we have a spouse in this life. Allah says the spouse will become better and longer lasting. Happiness will become better and longer lasting. Food will be better and longer lasting. The house will be better and longer lasting. Think of all the things we enjoy in this life. People buy their favorite car. It could be better, but it doesn't last very long, does it? And eventually something else that comes along, that's what? That's better. That's newer. Allah says, what I have for you is going to always be better. And it's always going to last longer. So think long term. Think long term. Think about what you really want to put an effort into. And by the way, nobody enjoys digging in the ground. That's not the enjoyable part. The enjoyable part is what you're going to get at the end. But watch this. The guy who's waiting for 100 million and he's digging, he looks happy. Nobody else who's digging in the hot sun looks happy, but this one is digging, and people are like, why do you look so happy? You know, this is not something to be happy about. I'll give you another example of mindset. If, you know, sometimes people live in very poor conditions. They live in very poor conditions. And there's one person who doesn't barely, maybe has one meal per day.
And their neighbor also has maybe one meal per day. But one day they get a letter that says, in about a month's time, you are about to receive the inheritance of your long-lost uncle, and it's guaranteed for you. It's coming in a month, though. You have to wait one more month. Now he has this guarantee that he's going to be rich in a month. For that month, is he still poor? Yeah. Is he still eating one meal a day? Sure. But the guy next to him is miserable, and he's super happy. He doesn't even feel that hunger. He's not miserable. He's just smiling all the time. Why? Not because of what's happening now, but what's coming in the future. He has this in his head. There's a guarantee. Something is coming, and it's removed all of his immediate problems. They all disappeared. Whatever's happening, he goes, no big deal. Somebody's yelling at him, insulting him, humiliating him, pushing him aside. It's okay. It's coming. I'm not worried. It's okay. Let them do what they want. You know? Because now it's removed from you. The day-to-day problems that were your biggest problems are no longer your biggest problems. This is what Allah has given us when He says, in this life, you get caught up in everyday problems. You think they're the biggest problem in the world. But what I'm telling you, Allah is telling you, وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. What Allah has is better, and it's going to last way longer, and it's guaranteed. وَعَلَى رَبِّي, you know, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. For those who actually believe that's coming. If you can actually believe that's coming, it will actually make this life a lot easier. وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And they completely rely on their master. They truly trust that that promise is going to be given to them. By the way, when Allah says what Allah has is better, there's another dimension of that you and I must think about. In this life, Allah Azza wa Jal describes, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. You know, the human being was created out of an urge to rush into things. We want things immediately. We want things immediately. Allah is offering us things a lot later. He says Jannah, and you say when? He says rivers, gardens, eternal life. Yeah, I know. But right now, I really need to do what I need to do. Shaitan doesn't offer you long-term rewards. Shaitan offers you rewards right now. Why don't you just eat whatever you want right now? Why don't you look at whatever you want right now? Why don't you make this money however you can make it right now? And Allah says, just wait. Don't make all of the things you desire, hold back. Just don't get it right now. Deprive yourself. Just go with what I'm allowing you. Hold yourself back like a prison, and I will give you way more, but I have to give you later. I won't give you right now. And you say, can I get a preview? Can I at least see a trailer on YouTube, what I'm going to get? Some kind of, you know, glimpse? No, you have to trust me. وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. You have to trust Allah, that's it. And you have to deprive yourself. Other people around you will say, you're missing out. Everybody else is getting ahead, you're falling behind. And you're thinking, what you're getting is mata'ul hayat ad-dunya, things that are going to last very little. You think you're getting ahead because you got a bigger house. You think you're getting ahead because you went and had a great time on the weekend in a way that Allah doesn't like. You think you're getting ahead because you're removing your stress by drinking alcohol or doing whatever else. Because I just want to enjoy myself. I just want to live this life. Let me live, man. Let me be free. You think this is freedom. This is all so temporary. And what Allah has is way, way better. I've decided to hold myself back just a little bit so I can get that. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Now these people who can develop this mindset, Allah didn't just give us, okay, this is how you think. How do you develop this kind of thinking? How do you become this kind of person? Allah describes this person in the next ayah. And so before I end this, I want to share with you that powerful description. He says, الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُهُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. Two qualities. You would think they're not connected, but to Allah they're connected. What are these two qualities? The first of these qualities is, they stay away from major sins. And they stay away from all kinds of shamelessness. All kinds of shame. There's two things. They stay away from major sins, and they stay away from all kinds of shamelessness. You know what happens in this life? Sometimes you say, oh, I have to make all 20 taraweeh. Or I have to make extra nawafil. Or I have to recite this much Quran. Those are all good deeds, yes? Yeah, but at the same time, I'm still earning some haram money on the side. But that's okay. Well, you're doing some good deeds, but the major sins are still going on. The major sins are still going on. You see, before you do any good deeds, smaller good deeds, you have to put things in perspective. What major sins are you doing that you must stop? That you must stop. You must put a stop to major sins and not kid yourself that even though I'm continuing to earn in an impermissible way, even though I'm lying and cheating And even though I'm doing something shameless, I'm doing all of those wrong things, and yet, because I'm praying in the masjid, that should cover it up. No, no, no. First, you have to stop doing those bad things. الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ. And then he says, all manners of shamelessness. Now, the worst of shamelessness is zina. The worst of it. But Allah didn't say al-fahisha. He said al-fawahish, which means the lowest of them. The lowest of them. What you're looking at, what you're staring at, what you're listening to, what you're exposing yourself to, what you're making acceptable to yourself. If you can disconnect from all of that and get away from as shamelessness as much as possible, exposing yourself to it, guarding your eyes, guarding your ears. If you can do that, then you will develop that sense inside you that what Allah has is better. You know why? Because if you don't develop that sense, then you always want to get pleased immediately right now. And you never think of what's coming in the future. You're always thinking about now. This is actually Allah's training for the believer. And so the final quality of these people is the hardest quality. He says, وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. And whenever they get angry, they cover. Whenever they get angry, they cover. Meaning their first impulse is, I'm going to do everything I can to forgive the one who just made me angry. Even if they're not forgiving them in their heart, they're not going to let their anger explode. They're not going to let it out. They're going to try their best to control their temper. They're this powerful impulse. يَغْفِرُونَ also means covering themselves. Meaning, they contain themselves. Allah says, وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. Those who are able to swallow their anger. Those who are able to take it inside. Now, things upset us all the time. And if we can develop that habit, these are the people who will get what is better and what lasts longer. Simple qualities. Three things Allah said, I remind you and I'll conclude. Those three things were number one, يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. Number one and number two. They stay away from major sins and they stay away from all kinds of shamelessness. They do their best to do that. They avoid it as much as possible. And then the second thing, or the third thing rather, is that they control their temper as best as possible. وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. You know? This is a remarkable quality for people to have. This, if we can come at the end of Ramadan, as Ramadan is coming to an end and our lives are also coming to an end, whether we like it or not, if we can develop some of these qualities, perhaps we'll not just make the most of Ramadan, we'll make the most of our lives. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن الحكيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات وذكر الحكيم.